All right. Guerrilla Banner Podcast. Got episode 22.
22.
Before we even get started, let's say one thing for sure. Commercials suck.
Yeah.
Ads suck.
Patreon doesn't.
Patreon doesn't. So Guerrilla Banner is Patreon so that it's ad-free and cut out all the bull. Also, our guest today has a Patreon account. Is that correct?
That's right.
How do you get to it? What's the name of it under? Just your comic, or?
It's just my comics. It's Paul Sneeze, just like on all of the websites.
Yeah, consistency.
Paul Sneeze.
Yeah, that's right. So Paul Sneeze as well. So once y'all get to know this guy, y'all get out there and help him out. All right. So the guest today is Josh, and all the way from Canada. Is that correct?
Yeah, Southern Ontario.
Southern Ontario. So we are at opposite ends of North American continent right now.
Yeah, we're over here at the Gulf. He's over there up in north of that imaginary boundary.
Is it technology wonderful?
It's amazing. Where are you guys located?
North Louisiana.
Yeah, we're down by the Gulf.
It is a nice 85 degrees outside right now, October 1st.
And humid as shit.
Very humid.
And mosquitoes the size of bats.
Still got mosquitoes?
Oh, yeah, dude.
All year.
Yeah, there's only like 3 months out of the year the mosquitoes aren't around.
And even then, at certain times of the day, you're still spraying off.
Yeah, don't go in deep woods where it stays humid and hot, because they'll still be there.
Do you have bayous in the north?
Actually, you drive through one just to get to my house.
Oh, what, bayous?
You drive through one, if you think about it, Kings Lake, yeah. To get to my house, you literally drive on a road that's water on both sides.
Yeah, we bayous everywhere.
Yeah, it's all lowland, even in North Louisiana, where it's relatively higher.
Because our ancestors wanted to build settlements at a bowl.
I mean, I think moreover, if you like read the history of the Acadians, I mean, like, they were kicked out of Newfoundland, kicked out of Maine, and then literally all the way down the Mississippi River, a history of kicked out. They get to the end of Louisiana where no one else is, and they're like, we'll stay here.
And you actually write a bunch of comics that I didn't know. I didn't know that you were the author of them, but I've seen them all over Facebook. So that was a nice little coinky dink whenever Brock showed me that.
Yeah, this is one of those things if I was like, I met this cool webcomic guy I've been reading. I want to get him on there, you know, and we'll talk about that here in a second. But yeah, he was like, oh, okay, cool. And then I showed him some of the comics. He's like, oh, I know this guy.
Yeah, I've seen him.
So, I mean, you've
really cool.
Yeah, you've reached all the way down here to Louisiana for sure, just to say that.
That's pretty impressive.
So walk me through this story. I mean, we don't just wake up one day and start a webcomic series, do we?
No, I guess not. I think the first one I did was for... Yeah, I didn't make comics until my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I made my first one for the university that I went to, like a university newspaper. There was a call-out for any kind of submissions, and if you look at my earliest comics, you'll know that they were scraping the barrel for anybody to put anything in there. And so it started pretty rough, and it's evolved a lot.
Yeah.
I think that was 6 years ago.
Now, you finished college, and what did you get a degree in?
Yeah, I have a degree in linguistics.
Linguistics, ooh. He's smarter than both of us, Matt.
Yeah, I'm not touching all that. I'm over here with general studies.
General studies at a college?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
He's a welder by trade. Don't let him lie to you. He just don't want to admit it.
No, I mean, I think that's fascinating. I've worked in a lot of manual labor jobs, and that's what I was doing just before doing comics full time.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, so you do it full time now?
Yeah, I've been doing it full time since January this year.
That's actually really cool.
Congratulations, man.
Making it happen.
That's always a big step, you know, stepping out. Now, is False Knees the only webcomic that you know you do or?
Or participate in.
Yeah, so just the one? Awesome.
Yeah, there's nothing really that ties all of my comics together. Mm-hmm. Now it's more animal based, but there's nothing. There aren't any repeating characters, really.
Yeah.
Everything that I do goes under False Knees.
I got you.
Yours, awesome. Your comics always tend to go around nature, and that I've noticed, and I just want to know why that is.
I got further away from doing people all the time because animals are way more fun to draw.
That's respectable.
And I figured that my perspective wasn't very interesting as a white man. So I feel like if I could give a voice to even some kind of fictional birds, it's even more interesting than that. So,
yeah. So it is a lot of birds mostly, right?
Yeah.
Did you always grow up drawing birds, or I mean, how long have you been drawing nature? Yeah.
They're a lot of fun to draw for me for some reason.
I got you.
I think certain lines about them, really nice, satisfying lines.
He's not a man who questions it. He's a man who goes with it. I like that. I like the fact that you're just like, there is no reason.
Yeah, that's actually, because here I thought that I thought that it was just going to be like, well, I do it because of this perspective on this, blah, blah, blah. But I think I appreciate it more that you're just going with it.
Yeah.
And that's just so awesome to me. You hardly ever meet someone that's just like, I got a thing I want to do. I'm going to do it. And that's it.
Yeah.
It's nothing else. It's not, I need to plan out all this and I might not make it or anything. You just said, fuck it, jumped in. And that's so cool. That's honestly way cooler to me.
Okay, cool. Most people might think of it as just being kind of lazy, but yeah. No, it's working for me right now. So I'm just doing, maybe it won't be birds forever. I'll probably switch it up at some point.
What was it? A few weeks ago, the existential raccoon that you did.
Raccoons are very existential.
Yeah, dude, I laughed so hard. Like, I legitimately laughed, you know, about the birthday raccoon talking about its its existence and all this. And I was like, wow, this is legit.
Just has a hard time keeping on birthday message. Fine.
Yeah, so, and I noticed that little slips of philosophy here and there happen in your comics. Now, where does that come from?
I don't know. I don't think any of it is particularly profound in any way. I feel like it's pretty accessible.
Yeah.
Philosophy.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's the beauty of it to me, is that it's like, here's this simple message of a philosophical message, and you just put it in animals, and it makes it relevant, you know?
Yeah, I think it's these concerns that everybody has in their day. So I just put it through a raccoon's mouth. Sometimes I was probably having those thoughts that day and just decided to write it down. Yeah.
So do you study, existentialism and nihilism or anything? Have you ever read up on it? Because that's kind of the recurring theme I see.
No, I took one philosophy class, I think, in university.
Mm-hmm.
A very beginner intro.
Let's read Plato and Homer.
Yeah.
Like Descartes?
Yeah, yeah. All the way up to probably early modern.
Yeah, it's stuff. Really hard to even really get the message out in just one class.
Yeah, well, I mean, philosophies.
Yeah.
It goes on and on.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't until...
It's a fascinating field.
Oh, yeah, it's a fascinating field, and it wasn't even until a few years ago myself that I stumbled upon, you know, the way that I start looking at the world, you know, was in a philosophical bin. So you started doing comics in your 20s, did you always draw? Was you always a drawer? Was you the guy doodling, staring at the staring at the ceiling while the teacher was talking kind of guy? Or?
Oh, I think some of my best drawings are still in the margins of my old school, like, textbooks.
When are we going to get those?
We should
get some of those. Just photocopy them. You know, it'd be perfect.
No, I'll sell the originals.
There you go. That'd be cool. The man is thinking.
It's capitalism at work.
You've been practicing your signature?
Yeah. Yeah, I've always been drawing. I was always interested in a certain kind of comic, like Calvin Hobbes. A lot of pretty common newspaper comics, like, I don't know if you guys know Get Fuzzy.
Get Fuzzy.
That's in a lot of...
I think
that's an American cartoon.
It probably is. You see, I'm not sophisticated enough for them. They're newspapers.
We're also so backwards down here, we call them the funnies.
The funny section?
The funnies.
That's right. You buy the newspaper for the funnies. You don't read anything else.
That's why we get the Sunday paper, so we can read the funnies.
In color.
I've only ever read the comics out of newspapers.
See? If they would stop trying to tell me the news and just put more comics in there, they'd probably sell more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they should just print the whole thing. Color comics, make them big.
I think we should make a newspaper that tells the news through comics.
And see, people might pay more attention this way. We've hit a million-dollar idea.
Oh, God. We need to write a patent now.
Quick, somebody patent it. Somebody buy the domain.
There are websites that do this. They pay for comic journalism. It's a real thing. It's phenomenal.
That's interesting. Comic I need to look at
journalism.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Now you mentioned Calvin and Hobbes, and just thinking about it off the top, Calvin and Hobbes had a little bit of existentialism in there. I'm going to have to think about that. Yeah, he was always talking about the vastness of space and the meaning of life, and then the tiger would be always like, whatever, it's not, you know, it's not going to matter anyway.
Yeah, right, the name Calvin and Hobbes, it's the name of two philosophers.
Yes.
John Calvin and Thomas Hobbes. Yeah, so it played a big part in that comic.
Yeah.
I think it does in a lot of comics, actually. It's just it's a good medium to talk about philosophy, I find.
Well, I think philosophy is a subject that at first, when I say it to somebody, I almost see their eyes glaze over, right?
Yeah, like
Epictetus used to say that
it's pretentious. Yeah, oh my God.
Their eyes glaze over, they're no longer paying attention. But, you know, it's something about stand-up comedians, some of comic strips, you know, when it's put forth the message in a lighter air, people seem to receive it better. And I don't know if that's the condescending air, you know, they don't want to be talked down to or what, but, you know, it strikes a chord. You're right. Absolutely.
And one thing
I was just going to say that any field can be full of jargon and it can be really exclusive and you can shut people out. And philosophy is pretty bad for that sometimes. People name dropping philosophers all the time. But, everybody has these questions in their head, and it's good to have it represented in such an easy form to consume, like comics. Then people can see that other people are thinking these things too, and
Well, one thing that I really like about comics and cartoons and all that, you know, you can get away with a lot of stuff going with that form. Like, you look at South Park and look at all the things they've said and done on that show, and nobody really threw that much of a hissy fit. And I think it's because, like, people just go, well, it's just a cartoon, you know, whatever. They're allowed to get these points across where if that was a live action show, there would be no way in hell they would get to say even half that stuff. And that's just one thing I've always really liked, is that you can take these really complicated situations and put them into this really, not simple, but straightforward format.
Yeah, that's a good point, because it's not only like you wouldn't be able to actually do live action South Park for the physical humor, because there's like, well, I haven't watched it in a really long time, but I remember there being a lot of gore.
It's silly.
You know, like a lot of crazy
stuff. There's still not, there's actually a lot less gore
now.
Now. Yeah, now they do a lot of social stuff still. Yeah.
They stopped killing Kenny like 15 years ago.
Yeah, they did, actually. Yeah,
I got tired of the Kenny.
You actually only see him like every third episode.
Yeah, they don't even show Kenny much anymore.
Well, that's the problem with characters that you can't understand. Like, the whole joke was that you don't understand Kenny.
Yeah.
So that's funny for a while, but you can't do it for 25 years.
Yeah, you got to let it go eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you have a beautiful thing. You have no character, right?
Right.
You want to draw a different bird? You can draw a different bird, dadgummit.
And like you said, none of them are recurring.
Yeah, I just throw them out every time.
Now, is there like a bird watching hobby of yours that's going on? Is there a bird book somewhere in your house? I mean, where do we get the birds from?
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I do have bird books, but I don't. I'm not a birder. Like, I don't go out of my way to find birds. When I'm traveling, I like to see them just because they're interesting.
Yeah.
But, and like when they're in the backyard, it's fun to mime what they're saying, especially crows. Crows have attitude.
Well, crows are smart, like legitimately smart, you know, them and ravens both.
Right.
You know, you don't. Nobody thinks about it offhand.
Most people can't even tell the difference.
Yeah, well, blackbird. There's a blackbird right there.
Well, one's like blue and one's like purple, so.
there is a difference.
Yeah, I've learned a lot about birds since drawing them. Like, I didn't know much when I started. I just thought, oh, this is fun.
Yeah.
But I've met so many people now. It's funny. At conventions, people will kind of come up to me and admit as if it's this guilty secret of theirs that, like, actually, I really like birds. I don't tell people that, but I like birds. As if I'm their confidant or something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they
understand.
They see birds with you, so they associate it with you. Yeah, the confidant, yeah. You know, it happens.
I don't understand what they'd be to, like, I don't understand why that's like a dirty little secret, though.
Well, I don't think everybody is as connected to nature. You know, we're in a relatively rural town, right? I mean, not even a high population or anything like that. We have hunters. You know, this is where you find rednecks. Matter of fact, you're kind of talking to two of them.
Yeah, our state is what is it? Sportsman's Paradise.
Yeah,
Louisiana.
Yeah, Louisiana's called
Sportsman's Paradise.
Yeah, that's what we're called, Sportsman's Paradise.
You can hunt, fish,
trap.
It's, you know, it's still a big thing here. You know, growing up, I hardly ever ate cow. It was always deer meat, fish, you know, something that my father or I had killed throughout the year, you know. And I know Matt still hunts a lot more than I get a chance to. But I don't think people are connected to nature, you know, I guess is my roundabout point. You know, you're talking about just sitting in your backyard. There's nothing like sitting out in the woods when you're hunting. Sometimes you're not going to see anything that you're hunting. You're just going to sit there and watch the squirrels play for an hour, 2 hours.
Or even seeing something too small.
Yeah.
And that's a big misconception I hate, is people. A lot of people think that hunters are, and of course there's like a few that are like this, but most hunters are just kind of like, they have a really deep respect for nature, and it's not that they're just going to go out and just bust every animal they see with their big old 30-06. I mean, that's not what's happening. You know, they're going to, like, I've seen, you know, like, I'll see a deer that's too small, and I'll just watch it and just go, okay, well, I'll just wait. And if a bigger one comes out, maybe, I don't know. I mean, I'll just watch them. I don't always feel like I have to just drop one.
Now,
I grew up in the countryside myself.
Yeah.
So,
often
the neighbors would have, like, venison, or there's a lot of elk meat going on, but that's raised.
That's one thing I do want to do is go elk hunting.
Yeah, there ain't no elk around here.
That's something I want to do.
Now, you, where were you raised at in Canada?
So I live in Kitchener, Ontario, which is about an hour from Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an hour west of Toronto. And I grew up another hour and a half northwest of here in the countryside, but it's still southern Ontario. It's still, you know, like Great Lake country.
Yeah.
There's lakes everywhere.
Still too cold.
It's cold.
How does Canada feel about America right now?
Mm.
Oh, man.
You can be honest.
It's fine. You're talking to...
Because we don't know how we feel about America right now.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know how I feel about America right now.
I
think people conflate America with the politics of America, which is, I mean, fair. There's a lot...
Oh, I love that. I love that you said that.
But, I mean, there's also a lot that goes on in, like, the political sphere in America that... Everybody else in the world is like, that could only happen in America.
Right.
Yeah.
It's strange to a lot of people, but it's also, oh, there's a dog.
There is a dog. He's outside. He found a squirrel.
Found a squirrel and felt like he needed to tell us.
Yes. Apologies about that. Matter of fact, y'all keep talking. I'm going to go get him.
All right.
I was just going to say that, there's also so many similarities, especially between the United States and Canada. And people feel really comfortable in Canada. They say that certain political things could never happen here. But we are really similar. And
I think the weirdest thing I've ever seen out of Canada was that mayor of, was it Vancouver?
Are you talking about Rob Ford?
I think... He was like a really wacky guy, and he was like always, he's just wild, like doing drugs and all that all the time, and he really liked women.
Yeah, that was Rob Ford.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's the wackiest I've seen out of Canada.
I think that's probably what most people know about Canada now.
No, I'm just talking about wacky, but I mean, you know, we did elect a reality TV star as president.
Yeah, no. Rob Ford was right up there with Trump.
Yeah.
He was a reality star, too.
Yeah, you know Rob Ford, don't you?
Don't
Mm-hmm.
you?
Yeah. I was saying that's probably about the weirdest I've ever heard out of Canada's politics.
Yeah, that dude was a wild man.
Yeah.
But,
and he was the mayor of Toronto.
Yeah, the mayor of Toronto.
He reminded me of Earl K. Long.
I mean, I think it was the poet E.B. White, I want to say, is the one I'm quoting here, when he said... the sneaky part about democracy is the suspicion that at least half the people are right all the time. You know, and when you start talking about elections at any level, sometimes crazy stuff can happen, you know. And sometimes what's going on in the world is just emotional backlash. People vote emotionally the time.
It's kind of become a popularity contest, or at least in America.
Well, I think that social media has made it that way kind of everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Have you heard of our prime minister right now, Justin Trudeau? He's it was totally a popularity contest.
Yeah, and he in many ways is kind of the polar opposite of Donald Trump, you know, but he's still just immensely popular, you know, big liberal guy. He said some outlandish things himself, I think, from what I've read. I mean, they're all crazy.
Have we ever heard a grabber by the pussy out of that one?
Mm-mm.
No?
No, he's never said that.
No.
He hasn't said it, you know, on a recorded device.
Yeah, on a recording device. But he didn't know he was being recorded. That's different.
did he not know he was being recorded?
He didn't know he was being recorded.
That's why.
No,
that's why
that was... Why he even the whole conversation? Like, if you read the whole thing, it was a situation where he was literally talking with one guy and himself in a room.
It was
bragging,
just kinda talking shit.
Yeah,
you know.
And it was like, ooh, yeah,
just one of those things.
I will say, I will say one thing about a particular reaction to American politics. My grandma says that when she turns on the news at night, that she has to watch her soap opera, which is every day Trump says something new.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, we really want someone to take his Twitter.
Well, I mean, we live in such an odd age, right? Because you do see it on both sides. It's just unfortunately right now the president is the guy that's the person who shoots the first volley a lot, you know, and it's craziness back and forth. And what I mean by that, like a good example of that is Puerto Rico.
Oh, God.
You know, you've been seeing a lot about Puerto Rico needs help, da-da-da-da-da, we're not sending any help. We literally just activated one of our companies and was sending them to Puerto Rico. They got to Puerto Rico today.
10,000 troops right now, isn't it?
Well, I'm just talking about our engineers in particular. We sent a whole company of engineers to clear roads and do things like that. And let me say, in my 10 years, in an unprecedented amount of time, how quickly we sent those guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm sitting there working like a madman throughout the week, and then open up my Facebook, and they're like, we're doing nothing for Puerto Rico. And I'm like, well, what am I doing here? You know, so we're living an odd world, you know? Now, I could take that one example and say, well, everything coming from that side of the aisle is this way, just like you can take some of the stuff that Trump says, and you can say everything on that side of the aisle is just as, you know, irrelevant. So, yeah, it's such an odd time. And I think part of it is that social media allows the message to get out maybe too quick. You know? It's the world we live in.
Yeah, I don't know. It is crazy. Very reactionary.
Very reactionary. But me and you get to talk from Canada to Louisiana, so I'm cool with it. No one saw the internet coming.
Me and my girlfriend actually went to Louisiana. We drove to New Orleans.
Oh, yeah. Drove?
Yeah, we drove.
From Canada to... Oh, my God.
2004 Toyota Echo. A year and a half ago, in the springtime.
So it still runs.
That's right. Toyota Echo. Oh, yeah. It's good for another 100,000 miles.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, New Orleans is a beautiful place.
Stinks.
But it's the only place like it in Louisiana, too. It's interesting in that, you know, that Louisiana is known for New Orleans, but yet no place else really is like New Orleans.
Natchitoches is like the closest I can think. And that's just because of the buildings.
That's right.
Like Spanish style. What's that?
What was that city?
There's Natchitoches.
Natchitoches.
Yeah.
Or it reads Natchitoches.
Yeah. Great thing about Louisiana is most people can't read the names of the places.
No. There's a street in our town, or the city next to us, called Suquaknacha.
Yeah. I'll send you a picture of that.
I still can't figure out what the hell that road's called.
Yeah.
Literally reads Suquaknacha. And if you bring it up, everyone here knows what road, and nobody knows how the hell to say it.
Yeah. We, in...
It's a road that no pronounce.
Yeah. In Ouachita Parish, which is where we're at, Ouachita Parish, which is, you know, in of itself, there's a lot of Indian names to everything. Lakes, roads, areas. There's a lot of that. And then there's also a lot of, you know, Acadian French in there. Yeah. So it's all over the place.
And I can't figure out how we kept so much of the French and Indian names. We have no Spanish names, but we have all the buildings still.
Yep.
I love it. I love that there's, like, it's unique. If you go to most English-speaking cities in North America, everywhere there's, like, a King Street, Queen Street. They all have the same names. Every town in Canada has the same names.
Oh, really?
There's Paris, Ontario. There's a London, Ontario. This city used to be called Berlin. They were just stealing names.
Just borrowing them. It's borrowing.
Well, Louisiana's kind of a cesspool of culture.
You can't say cesspool, though. That has a negative connotation. It is. Let's use the. Yeah, it's a melting pot.
Fine, melting pot of culture.
Yeah, that's a term that I would.
You meet a pissed off Cadian.
That's true. But, you know, melting pot, that was a word I was always taught. When you talk about America, it's the melting pot of culture, right? Because all these other places already had culture and then came to America. You know, we are a country of immigrants, however you want to look at it. And so we all have this vast history.
That's what's really funny about whenever they talk about nationalism in America. They're like, okay, so nationalism is based on language. And it's like, we don't really all speak English.
Yeah.
Most of us do. And they're like, okay, well, it must be based off religion. We're like,
No, it's based on some kind of arbitrary thing.
It's a boundary line that somebody agreed upon several hundred years ago. That's what it's based on.
And we base it on the Rio Grande and whatever the hell separates us from you.
A very polite fence is the only thing. Yeah, it's just sort of kind of a fence.
We've never really had issues.
Well, I want to say...
What did we... The U.S. and Canada did get pissed off about something.
Mm-hmm.
What was that?
Oh, if you look in the... we have fought many times.
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about recent.
Recent? I don't know.
Like within the last 70 years, I want to say. I feel like there was something.
Canadian-American War of 1953.
Yeah. No, it wasn't a war. It was just like we were just sitting there flipping each other off.
So you had to flip off the camera? Is it just then? What was that about?
Well, it flipped off you. I didn't flip. I mean, I wasn't doing that. It was. Didn't want to flip. I like him.
There's a reason we put an explicit tag on this show, because we can't control Matt. That's really what it's all about.
So many middle fingers.
I'm telling you. Now, I want to say, and this is a Googleable thing, but I want to say the U.S. and Canada is the longest undisputed
border. Yeah, no, that's true.
In the world.
Yeah, that's true. It is. The longest undisputed border.
Yeah, it's like there's no issues, there's no conflicts, there's... Yeah,
we don't put bases all across it.
That's right.
Worried about invasions.
Well, what's separating you from me are the Great Lakes.
Yeah,
right.
Like the Detroit River.
It was just kind of a natural geographic place to put it. Just, right here.
Yeah.
But most of Canada, it's just a straight line. Like,
The territories.
North Dakota and Minnesota. It's just like the
49th.
It's simple, you know. We'll cut it here. That's what it was. It was two guys. Just shoot a line. Just shoot a line.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get back to the comic, because that's what's important in this conversation.
I'm sorry I got us off on a tangent.
See, he looked at me crazy when I was like, 2-hour conversation, you know?
Yeah.
But so in your 20s, you started drawing comics for the school paper, right?
Well, it wasn't technically the school paper, but it was run by students. Yes. It was called The Link.
The Link. Okay, I think that was in your bio.
Yeah. That's a little bit of... buzz marketing for this paper that I used to know years ago.
just a little bit
for when I first started, I did drawings for some articles too, and they seemed to like it, and they kept me on for a couple of years, and that kept me motivated to do it for the first few years. And then one Christmas, my brother, for a gift, gave me the URL, falseknees.com. And then I started up a website with the help of my other brother, and then it's just gone from there. It's picked up a lot of traction this past year.
Yeah, for sure.
So where'd the name come from, False Knees?
False Knees is kind of a placeholder of a name that stuck. Like, I like the sound of it.
I like it.
I needed a title to put onto the comics.
It's like perfect.
They wanted a title to put beside my name.
Yeah. So. I like it.
Yeah.
Good sound.
He stumbles upon greatness.
Yeah.
Mr. Harmon. He stumbles upon it.
Somebody recently sent me a message. I can't remember what it was, but it was like they were asking me why it was called False Knees, and they kind of came up with an answer on their own, and it was way better than anything that I'd ever thought.
I think
I figured, like, oh yeah, this is the story that I'm going to start to tell people when they ask me, but I forget what it was.
Got to write it down. We've interviewed authors and things like that on the show, and it always seems to be something that I've kind of learned, that everything we learned in literature was a lie. You know, authors weren't trying to write some great moving story with a lot of deeper and deeper and deeper meanings. They were just writing a story, you know? And then afterwards, people are like, did the blue curtains and this, you know,
scene sadness was coming?
Yeah. Sure.
Especially in, like, grade 9, grade 10 English class, you just dissect the hell out of every single thing.
Right.
That's when you learn about symbolism.
Yeah.
But I think people still can hide meaning within words, but a lot of the time, you're right, people are probably reading too far into things.
Yeah.
I mean,
I was just going to say, I think the story that I like that somebody told me was that birds don't really have knees. They have, like, knees facing the other way, so that's why it's called False Knees. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was more clever than that.
The reverse joint knees, right? Is that what it's called? I think just reverse jointed, but...
Sure. Yeah, let's go with that.
Let's go with that. But yeah, no, I actually kind of offhandedly thought it had something to do with birds. But then again, you kind of shattered my conceptions when you were like, I didn't start with birds. I just kind of am there with birds.
No, man, it's all bullshit.
I love it.
I love this happening, just happening so attitude. Yeah, he's
like, well, I started drawing and people liked it. Yeah, it's beautiful, actually, because you know what the thing is you've went with the flow of life, right? Did you, now what were you doing? You said you went full time at the beginning of last year or this year?
This year.
Yeah, what was you doing during that? Well, you said you had a degree in linguistics. Was that being used or?
No, nope.
Of course not.
I taught English as a second language
mm-hmm.
for a couple summers. I guess that was somewhat related to linguistics. I mean, people don't know what the study of linguistics is, so it helps in some ways. Especially if you want to get a job at like a language school, people are like, oh, linguistics, that means that you know every language? Is that what that means?
Yes.
And you just kind of go, sure. So I went with that, but for the past few years, I've been an arborist, so a tree worker.
Yeah, absolutely. That's actually a big industry down here.
I bet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the southern United States, the variation in trees is insane. I'm a huge tree nerd.
Oh. But you didn't get a degree in forestry.
No, I just kind of do what I feel like at the time and see how it works.
That's the theme of life right there.
I love that. Yeah. I envy that a little.
So I did tree work for a couple of years. I did some training. I went to tree school, and I have my provincial arborist license of Ontario.
Nice. And yeah. But you was still burning the midnight oil drawing, or, I mean.
Yeah. When I was working with trees, I was still trying to do at least one a week or a few a month. I just wanted to keep on top of it. And even a couple of years ago, there were people that were encouraging me to keep it up. I wasn't in the newspaper anymore, but family and friends were still really supportive of it, and people on the internet started to talk to me. There's a few people from, a few years ago that they're still sending me messages every once in a while. It's really great to hear from them.
Yeah,
fans on the internet. Oh man, it's the internet can be a vile place,
but then it has its moments of beauty.
Yeah,
it really does, and it's really nice. It's really refreshing
because you go from seeing something like Donald Trump to somebody shared a video of a. Like, one of my favorite videos was the white homeless dude outside playing his guitar, and the black dude comes up and sings, and another black dude comes up, and they all start singing together, and that's just videos like that being shared in your comics. You know, the ability that you can make a comic, and then we can enjoy it thousands of miles away is just awesome.
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's incredible. As an artist, it's the coolest thing to have somebody from another part of the world talk to you and say, I really like this thing that you've made. It's just, it's the most rewarding thing. It really is.
Now, we say the word artist. When did you consider yourself an artist? When did that happen in your head? When was it, hi, I'm Josh, I'm an artist?
I think I became comfortable with saying it once it was actually starting to make me a little bit of money.
once it made you a nickel?
Yeah. The first time somebody paid me for my art, I think that's... I can't speak for other people, but that's when, for me, it was like, I think it's okay to call myself an artist. But in truth, that's shitty. Anybody who practices any kind of art should be able to call themselves an artist. There shouldn't be any kind of barrier on it. But there is a weird social barrier to talk about yourself as an artist. It sounds pretentious to say that you're an artist. I don't know why.
Well, you even used another word earlier, lazy. You know, it seems lazy. You know, it's something else that happens with artists, you know, or musicians. That's like, another thing, right? He just wants to be a rock star, huh?
That's sure, like the good luck. That's kind of like the classic Republican put down.
Get a real job.
Yeah, get a real job.
Whatever.
Musicians have the hardest time. I feel like everybody just assumes that they're lazy, that they're always late for things.
Yeah, working in grandma's basement, living in grandma's basement, you know. Yeah, I mean, but this is the thing, is that to the same time, a lawyer, you know, look at the 8 years that a lawyer takes to go to college and all that, and he's living broke and poor. What word was I trying to say there?
I don't know.
I have no idea. But, you know, he's living broke and poor and just making massive amounts of debt. That same energy is probably what that other guy is putting into making music, creating something. You know, it just doesn't come across the same. You know, I think maybe if we just learn to respect what it takes to make things, you know.
Yeah. Well, the small business owner.
Say again.
The amount of time that anybody puts into anything.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The amount of time that like the average cartoonist puts into their comics is insane. That's the only real industry within the art world that I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
And I know that people put a lot of time into comics, and they're really easy to read really quickly, to consume really quickly. People steal comics all the time, and people put so much effort into them. It's I don't know.
Someone steal your stuff? I can go choke him.
Yeah, we'll go get him.
I'll just be another angry redneck. It'll be fine.
All he's got to do is wear his camo shirt, boots, jeans, and camo hat, and nobody will know.
Just sneak up on him.
We'll bury him. Yeah. Bury him with a horse.
Well, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, it takes 10 to 15 years to get a black belt in jiu-jitsu, right? And most of the guys that do that, to be honest with you, they're normal everyday guys, and it's their hobby. But it's a consuming hobby.
Yeah.
It's hours upon hours of physical torture, essentially, you know, submission grappling with other people. years and years and years, you know, and they don't get a job out of the end of it. You know, they don't have a doctorate degree at the end of it.
Yeah, they can open up a school and maybe make money.
If they even want to take that leap. And right. I think you were going to talk about the small business owner a second ago.
Yeah, I was going to talk about the small business owner and the artist and how they're really in common. Because you could put forth all the effort in the world, do everything right, go with every avenue and still not make it.
Yep.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Now, how do you draw your comics? Is it a hand-drawn thing? I've seen videos with you hand-drawing before, but you're still mainly hand-drawing and...
Yeah, I do everything right here. You can't see. I can't really angle my computer, but
that's okay.
I'm sitting right beside my drafting table. It's mm-hmm. just like this small 3 foot by 2 foot drafting table.
At that angle,
I draw
that
everything.
45 degree angle kind of thing? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I draw everything by hand in pencil first, and then I ink it using like a these kind of standard, I guess most people use them for calligraphy or something. I can't really see where the
you're good.
Anyway, they're dipped ink, and then I sometimes paint them with watercolor, and then I scan them, and then I fix them up on Photoshop. This old version of Photoshop from 2007. And yeah, make them internet ready. Prepare them for the wild world of internet criticism.
The wild world of internet and criticism.
Do you receive very much negative criticism that's not trolling? We're not going to count trolling.
Is trolling not counted as negative
criticism? No, that's just someone...
You have to totally write it off, brother.
Yeah, trolling's
totally.
Not...
It's literally somebody wanting attention. It's not...
They just don't... They don't care about their words?
I think a lot of trolling... I think a lot of trolling is... Someone could be a fan of you and troll you just to get a response.
Yeah, it's the drunk person at the party saying, look at me, look at me.
Right. Like,
That's how I view it. I mean, that's like, how it comes across.
Like
to me.
Drunk fans trying to fight UFC fighters.
Yeah, the same thing.
It's
oh man.
Because after the thing, they'd be like, Chuck Liddell hit me.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I fought Chuck Liddell once.
I fought Chuck Liddell. He beat my ass. But I think all of it's just trying to get a reaction because that's all they want. That's all a troll wants is just they're over here doing all this really mean and sometimes like really evil words.
Yeah, they just want you to respond.
Yeah, it's just they just want a reaction.
Mm. No, I think I'm pretty fortunate. I think maybe it's the content of my comics that keeps that at a distance.
Yeah,
like nobody's gonna spend a lot of time to try to rip me apart because of my pictures of birds. Just nice.
He's got a good formula.
You're also not over there attacking the super volatile things.
Well, I think he hits. I think sometimes you may hit a deeper note than you even mean to in some of your comics. I mean, like there are sometimes I read it and I'm like, whoa. But because, like we were talking about earlier, it's that slightly cartoony, you know, you're hitting it, but ha ha ha, you know, there are times, you know, when do you draw? Is it a 3 a.m. in the morning kind of drawer or?
No.
No? Bright sunshine? Like,
yeah, bright sunshine, afternoon. No, I go into the evening too. It's not regular. With visual art, it's just you have to do it when it comes to you.
And okay, so with that, are you the kind that the muse hits you all at once, or are you the kind of guy that kind of sketches it out, kind of has a thought, maybe jots it down, lets it ferment?
Yeah, I get both. Often it's the ideas that hit me right away, and the ones that I do right away that are better. The ones that kind of ruminate my head for too long, they get too messy, and I try to do too much with it, and the idea is just way too complicated for four panels.
So just super spontaneous flow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, is it like you're eating dinner with a girlfriend, you go, I got to go write this down real quick. Does that ever happen?
Oh, yeah. No, probably half a dozen times a day, point at something and go, yeah, it's a Falsies comic. It's just not all of it.
We're lucky in that we have a group message that we'll just send it.
Yeah, we typically we have a third co-host on. He actually went to Georgia to compete in
Jiu-Jitsu
World's Tournament.
Are you all into martial arts?
Mm-hmm.
That's how, for the most part, we met. Me and Dylan, the other typical co-host, are both in the Army, and we met while we were deployed. And that's how we bonded, was through Jiu-Jitsu, and then...
Me and Dylan went to high school, but then afterwards I asked him about martial arts because I was a bodybuilder that got my ass kicked.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, being big doesn't save your ass. I'm going to see what this is all about. So,
cool.
Yeah. And then Dylan pointed me over in Brock's direction, and Brock started choking me. And that's how our friendship started.
I'm a nice guy. Don't let him lie to you.
You're the drunk guy that's like, choke me.
Yeah.
No, I was more like the big bodybuilder going, I'm bigger than you, so I should be able to squash you.
Yeah.
And then I just stopped bodybuilding altogether because that was stupid.
Well, I mean,
you're... Not that if you're a bodybuilder, it's stupid, but to me, I was trying to be, I don't know. I got my head too into it and thought that I was somebody else and got confused.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, it's messy. It's all messy. There's a lot of ego involved in bodybuilding.
Right. I think the ideal self, I think that's what it's called, the ideal self, you know, that image you build in yourself, in your head of your own self. You know, oh, I'm big, I'm strong, nobody will mess with me, everybody will leave me alone, or I'm super smart, you know, I'll always be the smartest guy in the room. You know, occasionally whenever those preconceived notions get shattered, you know, and you have to kind of rebuild who you are.
Well, so many other people look at, you know, like people that don't train in martial arts will look at other bigger people and just be like, oh, nobody messes with that guy. Oh my God, he'd squash you. And it's just like, jiu-jitsu guy's just like, I could choke him. But it was
cool.
It was made for the little guy.
Yeah, matter of fact, Master Elio's birthday's today.
Rest in peace.
May he rest in peace.
Yeah. The
guy who invented Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, his birthday was today. When was it invented? 1935, I think, is 35? Whenever they... Yeah, is whenever... 25? 35?
I don't want to say 25.
25.
I think it's
1925 is whenever it became a thing. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is called Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu because you basically take Japanese Jiu-Jitsu, a little judo, and you... modify them all slightly to be more about the leverage.
Who did the seminar for him?
I can't remember his name. Japanese fellow.
Okay, well, he was a Japanese guy, came down, did his seminar in front of the Gracie, you know, the Gracie family attended, and then they started practicing it and changing it and then really focusing on the ground because it was kind of like shoot wrestling before.
Well, Elio was the one, him and
Elio.
Carlos. Yeah, because Master Elio.
Elio and Carlos were the ones that started it. Elio was kind of sickly.
A small man, maximum weight of 135 pounds. So whenever he would develop techniques, he would make it for a 135-pound man, which translates really well into the self-defense aspect for females and things like that. And,
oh, cool.
Yeah.
Not to jump the gun, but does Canada do pounds or kilograms?
We do a jumbled system because of the United States.
Yes!
Thank you for that.
Yes!
It's kind of spilled over the border. No, it's not spilled over the border. We were used to, I think in the 70s we switched to metric.
Yeah, about the same time they tried to put us to it, yeah.
Yeah,
everybody still measures their own weight in pounds. I shouldn't say everybody, but everybody knows their weight in pounds. Other people might use kilos. And then height, like for people. I think most Canadians probably still use feet.
Feet inches, yeah, instead of the centimeter, meter.
Yeah. Everything else is pretty well metric, I think.
I hate to be the solid one out in America, but I really wish we'd go to metric because I'm tired of losing all my standard wrenches.
Your standard wrenches?
Yeah. They just disappear. Fucking 5/16ths. I don't ever know where that little bastard goes.
Yeah. You never keep it, right? There's
it
always...
It goes. It disappears. It's the same thing with the 10mm. You can talk about everybody. The 10mm socket, the 10mm wrench, fucking gone.
Always disappearing.
Always. Oh, I hate it. It's maddening. But we're so stubborn, we're like, what the hell you mean we need to switch to metric?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, Britain still uses stones when they're talking about someone's weight, I believe.
Oh, man, that's hilarious.
I don't know what
I
the hell.
They just had a stone, and they're like, this seems like the average size of a stone.
it's exactly the story of it.
They still do weigh-ins.
Yeah.
Stones. I don't know.
Yeah, don't even get me to lie.
I have no idea how much a stone is. I have no clue. They still do weigh-ins and stuff.
Yeah, if you watch a UFC event that's in London,
they will
tell the guy's weight in stones. Which has to suck for the American fighter. I got to weigh how much?
Did I miss weight?
did I miss weight?
Did I miss weight? 23 stones. Did I miss weight? Did I make it? I can take a piss.
Yeah. I guess since we flirted with physical activity, you did a lot of physical activity as an arborist. Do you do any sort of working out, or is there any sort of, you know, you go running? No, I'm busy drawing. Leave me alone.
I do my stretches. All right?
Hey, stretching's.
I stretch my wrists.
That's right.
A bit of yoga.
That wrist stretch you just did, there's a very successful MMA fighter. He's retired now, named Bosch Rutten. What was that role over there in Japan? What organization was that where you couldn't hit somebody with a closed fist?
So he'd slap the fool out of him.
He had gotten good. He had stretched his hand out so much that he could just hold his hand back behind his palm, and he would just hit people. With that palm, and like he would just punch them because you weren't allowed to hit someone with a closed fist, but you could slap them. So he had learned to just come by and learn to like throw hooks and stuff with just his palm, and he was knocking people out in this organization.
Usually, if you weren't stretched out that way, you would just like break your wrist if you tried to hit somebody.
Well, you do have to toughen yourself up a little bit for it. Just like hitting bare knuckled, you'll mess your own hand up,
yeah,
but. He was a world champion kickboxer.
Right.
And so he went over there to, you know, fight. And, yeah, he basically figured out how to knock people out with the base of his palm and stretched his arm out and kept it all open. And, yeah, interesting fellow, Boss Rutten.
Maybe I'd be good at that, too.
Now, you mentioned yoga. I love yoga, by the way. At 5'8", 200 pounds. I love yoga.
One of the hardest,
believe it or not.
It's one of the hardest things I've ever done. I would take a powerlifting session over a yoga session any day because to me that shit's so fucking hard.
It's there's a mental aspect that you get in yoga, just having to hold. Your legs are screaming at you.
God, that stuff sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like it.
It's a
really
horrible
like
sensation. I hate it. Hate it.
He says as he chugs his monster.
Patience. I don't need patience.
I also, I used to do tree planting.
Mm-hmm.
Did seasons of tree planting as like my form of income. And that's really mind over matter. Holy shit.
So
it's so hard on you.
Were there machines, or were you just digging holes with a shovel?
No, so... Oh, you guys don't know about tree planting?
Uh-uh. I don't educate
so,
me.
Yeah, we... Typically, the clear cutting happens by other companies around here. You don't see it.
Yeah, we don't do it.
So once forests are clear cutted, you need to have people go in there to replant them.
Okay.
Because in most situations, it's like a war zone. After these machines are
right. Yeah, we've seen clear cuts.
Yeah, clear cuts can be... I've seen piles of like debris, forest debris, 10 feet or like 12 feet thick. So you can't put machines in there because they'll just, and there's so much water. This is in like Northern Ontario and Manitoba and Saskatchewan. Well, they do it all over Canada, but anyway, I'm just talking about it because it's really mind over matter. You carry hundreds, if not thousands, of trees on you in these stupid patches that sit on, like packs that sit on your waist.
Is it a belt of trees? Belt of trees?
Yeah.
Yes! Sounds horrible.
And then you carry around this dinky little shovel that's like, I don't know, 2 feet long.
Like an e-tool.
And then you just, tree after tree, and people do, some people can do 7,000 trees in a day. And it's the hardest thing I've ever done.
No.
And it's so much of it is mental.
Because there's a repetitiveness to it. There's just a dun, dun, dun. Yeah. Yeah. Now, these are like little saplings, right?
What's that?
It's a little sapling. Saplings. Okay.
So how much were you just sitting there thinking, fuck this shit, I'm out?
Yeah.
Just throughout the day.
He wants to just get back to his drawing board.
And you're in your free nation where you can just drop your shit and say, fuck you, and leave. Whenever you know that's an option, and you're just getting eaten up by bugs and shit, digging holes, planting saplings, field of debris where you're just stepping over shit constantly, probably tripping, thinking, fuck this, every time.
Yeah.
Now, Canada has black flies, right? Y'all have those. Yeah, those are what's bad there, right? It's the little black flies.
People that complain about mosquitoes.
I don't know anything. I know what they are. I've never.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have those.
Yeah. Now, they're do black small, flies bite? Do they bite or anything like that? Yeah.
Yeah, they bite you behind your ears.
Oh.
Especially. You know, like the crooks and crannies everywhere, they get in your eyes. Mm. They swarm you.
Yeah.
They make you go crazy. It's great.
No. No, it's not.
So they use thermocells for that, right? It just like, I know down south we use a thing called a thermocell. Burns like a odorless butane, keeps them away. Did you ever use anything like that?
No.
Might have to send in a thermocell.
Canada might not be about those emissions.
They're a cleaner country.
Well, they are, because we just got rid of the EPA. Thanks, Trump.
When you're tree planting, some people put, like, sticks. You have to wear a hard hat.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in a clear-cut forest, something could fall out of the sky into your head. So some people put a stick into their hard hat because there's, like, I don't know. People think that black flies are so dumb that they just go to the highest part of somebody's body, which is where your head is. So if you put a stick, then they'll go up to like the top of the branch.
Did it work?
I mean, again, it's mind over matter. It's like taking a, what are the drugs called? The sugar pills.
Placebo.
Sugar pill. Yeah, placebo. Yeah.
Do you believe that the stick is working?
I don't know.
Placebo is always beautiful to me. No, yeah, that's beautiful. Stick a stick up there because it'll go to the highest part of you. I mean, hey. Yeah. But no, yeah, I've seen some like bow hunting videos, guys bow hunting. So it's in that early spring time when the black flies are really high up and they're like swarming these guys. And I was always like, oof, that just doesn't, nothing about that looks good.
You said you lived in the country whenever you were growing up. So, I want to know how terrifying it is to hear an elk. That horrible elk, like, yell that they'll do.
We don't have elk.
You don't? Oh, okay.
That's a mountain thing.
That's a mountain-only thing?
For the most part.
No, it's like northern thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you look on a map of Canada, I'm further south than
Maine?
Yeah. Than Maine. I'm further south than, like, probably not Portland. Washington. Like, a lot of Washington
State. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that middle dip part. Yeah. Yeah. He's got the slightly nicer weather. Any further north is, you know, ridiculous.
Well, most people live in that little dip in Canada, don't they?
Yeah, I think there's something like, well, most of the population lives within 100 kilometers of the
U.S. Where,
like 95% of the population.
Yeah, they live in that little dip and then out east, too. I mean, isn't that where most Canadians live?
Vancouver has, like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because everyone else that went further north is crazy.
Yeah, they're
people that have been living there for thousands of years.
Yeah, there's
there.
Yeah,
and then they give them TV shows.
Yeah, those are the kind of people that have
like
TV
the woman
shows.
That wait, was she Alaskan? The one that got attacked by the bear, or was she Canadian?
I has no idea.
It
what
doesn't
we're even
matter.
Referencing.
There was this woman that got attacked by a bear way up north, and like survived the bear attack, crawled up in her house. And kind of just like healed up for 2 weeks, went out, found the bear, and killed it.
I can dig her attitude.
And it's just like, oh my God, why the fuck are you still there by yourself?
Was the Leonardo DiCaprio movie?
The Revenant.
Yeah, The Revenant.
Yeah.
Revenant. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was a neat little movie. When I watched that movie, you know what I could think? I'm glad I live in these times. That's typically what I think. You know, everybody wants to talk. We talked a little bit about, you know, turmoil in the U.S., you know, turmoil all over the world, really, it seems, if you just open up your social media account. But, yeah, you know, there's never been a better time to live.
Yeah, we're not dying of yellow fever.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. I want to live right now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so happy that some people's biggest concern is how much gluten they eat at the end of the day.
And how online cartoonists can make a living. Like, that wasn't a thing 20 years ago.
No, yeah, you'd have been lucky to get the local newspaper.
Yeah, you would have been lucky to keep the newspaper position. That would have been a thing that you just held on with an iron grip and didn't let go.
You know, if you got syndicated, you would have, you know...
The newspaper syndications were, I mean, and they probably still are pretty good, but newspapers are dying.
Exactly.
But they were the golden ticket. If you were able to get into a newspaper, man, you had it made the rest of your life.
So was there ever a moment when you were like, Mom, Dad, I want to draw cartoons?
And like, as a confession?
Yeah, like, that's what I want to do. Like you talked about your two brothers. They seem highly supportive of you. I mean, it's a supportive family, you know?
No, they're incredibly supportive. Yeah. I never had to break the news to them that I was going to become.
That might be a very American thing, Brock.
Yeah, Mom, Dad, I want to be a cartoonist.
No, you're going to go weld like the rest of this damn family.
Your grandfather was a welder.
No.
I'm a welder.
It is weird. We have so many family businesses still.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So many.
Yeah. It's,
you guys have family businesses?
I do not. You know, well, I mean, technically, I could go into a family business
kinda,
of construction.
I kind
of
do.
I decided to join the great U.S. Army.
There's an appraisal thing that I could get into and a computer science.
I just can't see you behind a keyboard much more than you already are with this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Your parents weren't podcasters?
Yeah, no. Mm-mm.
It took me probably about 5 hours to explain what a podcast was.
Yeah, the great thing about being rural Louisiana, there's not a lot of podcast here. You know, West Coast, East Coast, there's a lot of...
Most people don't really know what a podcast is, and the easiest way to tell them is internet radio.
Yeah, I have my own radio show, okay?
Yeah. That's the easiest way to tell them. It's not quite right, but it's like, I'm tired of trying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
we'll try telling them what a webcomic is.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, we've talked about newspapers dying. We've talked, a lot of things are dying in this world, and the great machine that is the internet keeps rising out of the abyss, filling all these positions.
Yeah, and they're
jobs.
slowly updating Louisianians.
Slowly.
We are ranked 50 out of 50 in almost everything.
49. There's Mississippi.
No, we beat them on like several things now. Oh, never mind. Yeah, that happened this year.
It's a friendly banter.
That felt like a low blow.
It yeah. is, but no, it's we, a friendly we, banter thing we, that happens.
But us in Mississippi, we just go like, ah, we're not the fattest anymore. You are. Oh, hey, we're more educated than you now. It's like
just
back and forth.
At each other over the border.
Yes, yeah, yeah, pretty right much. Over the Mississippi. You know, yeah. We just hurl things at each other right across the Mississippi River.
We got a better zoo in Jackson.
The Audubon Zoo's better.
Yeah.
Now, is there, you know, geographical things always seems to be, I guess, tribalism, right? That's a word that's growing over the past year, you know, us versus them, you know. It's always been to seem to be a geographical tribalism.
Used to be the only thing.
Yeah. Now, is that still, like, is there a town where you're, near where you're from that everyone makes fun of and things like that? You have that? Of course.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm not saying name the town.
There was a town where, like, everybody would say, well, in... I'm not going to say the name of
yeah,
the town.
Yeah, no.
But they would say, like, oh, in blank where your family tree is a circle. Or...
Oh, God, Balcomville.
Yeah, well, the last episode, we literally had a guy who had a viral video about that town for us around here.
Yeah.
singing a song about it. So yeah, it's...
Do they have a problem with like genetic mutations?
Well, it's right next to
the paper mill.
Paper mill.
Which is just pumping just pumping fumes out
yeah.
every day.
Yeah. The...
And I work right next to it. Horrible.
I was raised that was the smell of money.
Yeah, that's what they tell us. That's you know, you kind of wonder like, well, how do people live in the Industrial Revolution time? And I'm sitting there going, I get it.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's the ticket. That's the ticket to money right there.
Yeah.
You're like,
do you know what it's about paper mills in particular that make them so awful?
I don't know.
It's the
some chemical, right? No, the treating.
Yeah, it's the treatment or the something with the water and the pulp in it. Whenever they're washing it up, it just smells fucking.
Yeah, because essentially you have to boil wood
right.
to make paper. I do know that much. You boil wood to make paper, but
do you drink Coors Light?
No. Sometimes I drink regular Coors.
You drink? Okay. Well, we make the Coors Light boxes at that paper mill.
That is true.
Oh, lovely.
whole industry.
So that's why most people around here hate Coors Light.
Huh.
Yeah.
What do you drink?
Most Bud Light's real popular. For some reason, Yangling's real popular.
Yeah.
Around here. I don't even know if you... Do y'all have Yangling?
No.
No. It's not very Carling. Good. I don't like it.
Isn't it a...
it's a darker.
It's an Asian beer, isn't it?
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I have to look that
up. I don't
up
like
where
it.
It came from, but
it's like horse piss.
I don't drink anymore. I stopped it. No reason for it.
I do on occasion.
I mean,
yeah, good for you.
No.
I drank me some red wine the other day and really liked it.
Are you becoming artsy fartsy on me?
No, but it was amazing to me because I usually hate wine, but I drank that wine. I was like, wow, that was actually really good.
See, there I go throwing around slurs. Artsy fartsy.
Artsy fartsy.
Nothing wrong with being an artist. We were just talking about
that. I haven't heard that since I was a kid.
I know.
Oh, that was like an insult. Artsy fartsy. That's like
artists have terrible farts. Everybody knows.
Oh, yeah. It's a stereotype.
Sitting around all
it's
the
a
time.
Stereotype, but it's true. They just sit around being lazy, painting shit and farting.
Yeah. I mean.
That's why Los Angeles stinks so bad. There's artists everywhere. I really love those street artists, though.
Street art is neat. You know, like guys that take like...
the speed painting?
Yeah, the spray paint.
I love that.
Have you seen videos of that? Like guys spray painting pictures and stuff? And it's always incredible to me.
You usually don't know what it is till the last 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. And that's really...
Street artists are so talented. Yeah.
Now...
And to just put it on display for everybody and to have to be in public making something, I could never do that.
No.
The scrutiny. Daring.
Is it kick everybody out of the room while you're drawing kind of thing?
My girlfriend is allowed to be over my shoulder.
She's allowed to be over. So you wouldn't let like your brother come in?
A lot of actually. It's very private.
Yeah. Now is she the one that you go to and say, "Is this good?"
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to have that person, right? You got to have that person of, "Is this good? Does this make sense?"
Yeah.
So is there a comic community where like you go and talk to other comic writers or authors or whatever the correct term is, because I'm ignorant?
No, it's a good question. Like, there are definitely communities of cartoonists, maybe not so much in this town. I haven't found so many people, but definitely online. People are always sharing stories or asking for advice. And it might not seem very complicated, but as soon as you get into any kind of business, you learn that there's so many aspects to running any kind of a business or taking on any new kind of skill. And it's difficult to find out all the information on your own. So cartoonists are very willing, in my experience, to help other cartoonists out. There's no competition. It's all very supportive. I've asked other cartoonists in the past for advice on certain things, how to start stores, where to get the right materials for whatever. It's hard to just make everything up as you go.
That's something that we share too as a podcasters. That is a really strong thing. The attitude to go out and try something that most people, you know, like maybe they like to draw in their spare time, but they don't really put it out there, you know. And all we decided, because we picked the easiest form of, I don't want to call it art, but entertainment, to go out and try, because we just talk. And then we were just kind of like, well, we have interesting conversations sometimes, and it's a lot of fun, so we'll just take that leap. And we've talked to other podcasters. There's actually one of our friends, Ferris, and we have that same sense of wanting to help.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying about the community, because it's almost now that all you have to do is go look. Someone has written down
a formula
of how to get out your podcast, or, you know, so I imagine it's the same thing, like that pen. Did you think of that pen on your own, or was it someone suggested it in a forum and you found it and went with it and kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, I don't know, for that pen specifically, but definitely for other materials that I have. It's a lot of asking around, but for artwork, a lot of it is like, you need to do trial and error, because you need to find something that works for you, that feels right.
We've definitely done a lot of trial and error with our technical cable junk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like, not
first,
like...
first day we started out was disaster.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and even, like, you know, setting up the Skype, you know.
Yeah, just this call, you know.
It's not easy.
Figuring it out.
But you have to be willing, you know.
If this isn't muted, it's going to echo forever.
Yeah.
Finally got rid of that damn hiss.
I think that's one of the important things about life, though, right? And it's something that they don't teach you in school, and you're lucky if your parents teach you to go out. Oh, just shit, try. Here. Yeah. Go try. You want to do this? Go try. And then come back with a lesson if you fail.
Probably one thing I hate about Southern culture the most in America is that most parents try to teach the sure thing.
Hmm. Yeah.
And not the happy thing. Hmm. It's always, you know, go study to be an engineer or learn a trade, something like that. It's always some kind of just sure thing attitude where you work. Because, I know a lot of engineers, and I was about to be an engineer. That's what I was studying, and I was like, I hate this shit. And I was like, I'm not going to do it. And, my parents understand that they did it now, and it's always kind of like, you know, they don't try and push me anymore, but that's why I even went to that college and started in engineering, was because they were trying to push that sure thing on me.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, fuck it, I'm going to do the happy thing. I don't want to do this shit.
That's good.
So it's
I feel like that's pretty pervasive. I think that's definitely here too. It's family by family. Some people are really forced into doing exactly what their parents did, or worse, doing what their parents
never did.
Is a good idea.
Yeah, which I mean, I think that's one of the pushes to college nowadays, right? Go to college, go to college, go to college. You keep calling it university. Is that the colloquial term?
Yeah, that's the Canadian-American difference there.
So
we have colleges. I think it's your community colleges.
Okay.
Okay, I was about to ask if y'all are like New Zealand and call high school college.
The four-year university. Yeah. I got you. Yeah. Okay.
No, for us, college is like a trades.
Okay, so like we call that VOTEC.
Yeah, VOTEC, vocational.
Technologies,
or community college if it's a two-year degree kind of thing. But there's this push. Yeah, you're right. Push. Do well in school. But it's never
the happy thing.
Are you happy working on cars? You know? Mm-hmm. Do you like designing them? You know, it's never that. It's, we'll go get an engineering degree, and then you'll figure out what job you get later. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so much of engineering is just draw a line, formula. And guess what you do next? You draw another line, and it's formula. And then, oh, shit, you draw a circle. And now you got to do twice as many formulas.
I think it's a great time to pursue your interests. And who knows, maybe they'll lead somewhere.
There's so much room for error now.
Yeah.
You can fuck up and then be okay afterwards. Yeah. Like 50 years ago, 60 years ago, not really.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, I sometimes think that the reason, you know, my grandparents weren't so worried about necessarily what they did is because they didn't have time to worry about it.
It was do it.
Yeah, my grandpa was a diesel mechanic and had his own farm. He didn't have time for this.
Be like Sweet Brown. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, he ain't got no time for that. So, yeah.
That's such, I don't know. Especially around here, it's really prominent. I mean, it exists everywhere, you know, that parenting attitude. Mm-hmm. And I also don't think anybody knows how to parent. There is no set right way. I think everyone's just kind of doing a weird little science experiment. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. As a guy with three daughters, I can tell you absolutely yes.
Did you change the method from each one to one?
No, I'm raising them all to be absolute savages.
Do you ever worry that your daughters will be... This is something that me and my girlfriend have been talking about recently. Do you ever worry that they're going to be like... assholes?
So I don't worry that they will be, because they almost absolutely will be perceived as some in some way. And here's my thing, all right? Pervasive Southern culture, right? The lady has to be kind, a little gentle, right? There's still some gender roles around here. If you know what I mean. And I am a stoic, you know, when I prescribe to philosophy of any type, you know, existence happens, get over it and do it, you know, and so I personally am sort of raising them to be savages, you know. Yes, they're going to cry, but I'm like, okay, but now let's go fix it. So when they're grown, they probably will be a little bit abrasive to people.
They're going to grow up and be just like Brock. And this is a PSA. Whenever you first meet Brock, Brock is a fucking asshole.
A lot of people perceive me that way, yes.
But then you understand that what it is Brock is actually just very blunt to the point. And he's actually kind of sweet, kind of, in a fuck you kind of way. He cares. He does.
Yeah, no.
I feel like we're having a real moment here.
No.
This is a real moment.
No.
You're going to cry.
It's very true that a lot of people see me as very abrasive when they first meet me. The tone of my voice, the kind of flat demeanor that I tend to carry. But, yeah, I want them to be achievers.
It's a toneless. He's toneless.
I think monotone is the word.
Toneless.
You moron.
No tone. It's not monotone. Monotone has one tone. You have no tone.
No tone. No, but I want them to be achievers. I mean, we're growing up in a scary world. They're growing up in a scary world. And I want them to be prepared, you know? And I don't want them to fall for the first guy that comes along and sounds sweet. And, you know, I want them to see beyond the bullcrap in humans, you know, and look for real.
Cynical.
I'm a cynic sometimes. Yeah, absolutely.
That is the definition of cynicism.
But, you know, go on a few deployments. You'll probably be a cynic too. You know, that's what, you know, if you see the worst parts of the world, you tend to, all of a sudden you understand why that guy, you know, barricades his house and doesn't, you know, want to talk to people anymore. Yeah.
Well, my dad buys land around him just so people won't move on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's what happens.
That is true. He buys land around just so people won't move on it. He will buy your house and your land and knock it down. Just knock the house down, and he'll never sell it.
So does this mean you're thinking about children? Is that where this is going? You've had these conversations?
I mean, not anytime.
Not anytime soon? I had to ask. You opened it up. I wanted to take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a, man, it's a scary thing. It's a wonderful thing. And it absolutely makes you check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Oh, Jesus.
No, I mean, it's a moment where you take a hard look at yourself. You know, am I?
Parenting?
Yeah, in parenting. You know, the moment you hold that first kid, and then after every kid after, you know, every time, it's like, oh.
No more cocaine for me.
Yeah. I'm over here having a real conversation, and Matt wants to talk about cocaine.
Not that I'm down with the booger sugar.
Oh, my goodness.
Booger sugar.
Well, drugs. Is drugs a thing in Canada?
No. Canadians don't like drugs.
Yeah.
We just eat maple syrup. And
that's right.
is that the drink of choice?
Yeah, we get drunk on maple syrup, party real hard. I mean,
I think,
and say please and thank you a lot, and say out different.
Out and about. That was the only two things that I really even noticed in this conversation, that there was a...
I love it.
Oh, have I been saying linguistic signifiers?
Just out and about was the only two. Out. I mean, I'm sure you picked up 50 million of them from us, though.
Yeah, it was out. A little bit like out.
Really trying to not do a terrible, offensive Southern accent.
Oh, do it.
Let's hear it.
Do it.
No.
Oh, come on. This is the one place no one will care.
We make fun of it way more than you do, and all these idiots around here take pride in it.
Okay, you should take pride in the way that you sound, but not over other people.
Yeah, not over... oh, my goodness. He just not over other people. That's the thing. You can be proud of where you are.
But we do that.
But don't put down other people.
Well, I say the people around here do that.
It's the way you're raised. You know, northern people are always trying to get something over on you. No. It's all dumb.
Yeah, we are taught that paranoia.
Say again?
Is there any truth to the southern hospitality thing?
Oh, especially from let me say from Southern mamas, you know, Southern women, very hospitable, but it is dying out with the internet.
If you stay in the actual rural parts, you know, and don't get in the cities, you'll see a lot of that Southern hospitality, and it's also the only place where bless your heart is an insult.
Oh, well, bless your heart.
Yeah, bless your heart. That's an insult. They're not being sweet. They're saying that you're an idiot.
Yeah.
That's what's happening. Bless your heart, because you're a moron and you need blessing to live.
Oh, somebody just says something incredibly stupid and you say, oh, bless your heart.
Yeah. It's exactly what that means. I hit my hand with a hammer. Oh, bless your heart.
Yep.
You fucking moron.
Yeah, there's drugs in Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
People like drugs everywhere.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, for us, it's...
Meth.
Well, yeah, meth here in the South. But it's becoming such a part of...
Culture.
You know, even as far as, like, going back to that Facebook thing. You open up Facebook and somebody's talking about drugs, or, hey, here's another drug bust from our local police, you know, and you're like, oh, I don't know.
So, like... Is that I was about to ask about that. Is the war on drugs a big thing in Canada like it is here?
No, there's no war on drugs.
No.
Yeah.
We have declared war. War on drugs.
What, like a 30-year war?
Our Congress, ever since Nancy, has declared war.
Miss Reagan.
On drugs. Because all this damn marijuana.
What was that? I'm sorry.
Who's winning the war?
The drugs.
The drugs.
Oh, bah. Landslide the drugs. But the prison industry's winning in America.
Yeah, the incarceration rate in America is sad.
Where me and Brock live, Louisiana, has the highest incarceration rate in America. In the world. In the world. We have more inmates or more prisoners per capita in the world in Louisiana.
You should rename your show. This is just a suggestion. Rename the show. Just ruining America for Canadians. We're like, I don't know.
Oh god. The most we're touching shit on all the bad shit, aren't we?
Well, I mean, humans focus on the bad, right? Yeah. I mean,
there's
America.
A lot of good.
America is a country that is moldable.
I can do most things I want.
Like, to me, the reason why America does as well as it does is because it can change from one generation to the next, you know. And yeah, it may lag behind some progressive elements in the world, but a lot of America is still so rural, I think, is one of the reasons why that.
We
you
have
know.
One thing I love about America is that we have 50 states, so that's 50 different experiments going on all at the same time. Because each state has its own state government. So that's a really interesting thing, and I love it. Because some, like, you look at California and you're like, okay, well, they got a lot of cool shit, but their government's kind of wacky.
Yeah, they're in massive debt. That's an issue. And then you look at
wacky.
Texas and you're like, oh, similar population, but they are positive. You know, they're not in debt. So, yeah, it's
and the cultural change from state to state's huge.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about a country of 350, 360 million people over the vast expanse that it is, you know, that's another thing. It's a large swath of land. There's going to be issues. There's going to be differences. The guy in California is not going to see the world the way I do. Just probably never, you know, because we live in vastly different worlds. We're just in the same country.
We experience completely different things, too. People change so much in America. If you go, you drive, you know, 500 miles, you're not going to be talking to the same kind of people. You're going to be different. You'd be the outsider.
And
that was like a big wake-up call for last year's election for a lot of people in the States.
Yes.
And a lot of people in the world, too.
Yeah.
They all of a sudden realized that there are these voices that were just not being heard.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's a funny thing because I think in social media we get a view of the world, right? But I know a lot of 30 and under people who don't have a Facebook account where we live. They don't.
That's intentional.
They intentionally don't. And by the way, those are people that vote. Those are people who have a voice when it comes to the political decisions they make. But you'll never hear that voice until it comes election day, you know. And we live in a Republican state, you know, if you just want to say it that way. And a lot of people didn't vote Trump because it was Trump. There's a lot of people
because they didn't vote Hillary.
Yep. And that's simply the what happened.
I honestly believe that if any other candidate, ran against Trump, it would have been a landslide victory for that candidate.
It would have probably been a lot more because, you know, in America, 33% of the population votes, if that,
right,
on these big elections. And so it's only who is so worried about who's going to win that they actually show up to vote, if you know what I mean. Like, and that's the reason why these things go back and forth, you know, and that us versus them mentality, And I mean, there are many days that I'm glad to be a registered independent.
Yeah, also registered independent.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a good country. It's just
I think America's biggest political issues is that we refuse to make changes to the framework.
Well, it's a two-party system, right? And that's probably because these people feel like they got to vote one way or the other.
Well, and each side also pisses off the other one, so it doesn't matter what stance either side takes. As soon as they take a stance, the other side's immediately opposed to it, no matter how much sense it makes.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how much sense it makes. If a Democrat goes, well, I think we should, you know, raise taxes for food, and the Republican's like, okay, don't do that. And that's just how it is on everything.
And so people end up having to vote based on really just one or two of their political beliefs, you know, whichever ones truly matter to them. And yeah, the two-party system thing in America, probably my biggest issue.
It needs to stop.
But you know what? Yeah. You make amazing comics.
Yeah, you do.
And that's what this is about.
Well, we wanted to touch on something a little bit sweeter in America. I want to talk about something sweet that I really like about Canada, and that's the celebrities.
Canadian celebrities?
Canadian celebrities.
What? Who?
I like like Ryan Reynolds.
Oh.
He's probably my favorite of all time.
Yeah, he seems like a good dude, I guess.
I love Ryan Reynolds.
No, you know, there is a lot of Canadian artists, Canadian musicians, Canadian actors that a lot of people don't even know they're Canadian, you know, until way later on.
That's because
careers.
We try to claim all of them.
America.
Oh, you'll always be able to pick out the Canadian at a party because they will be the first person to say who's Canadian. Like, oh, did you know that this person, like, you'll be listening to music and the person will be like, oh, this person's Canadian, actually. Or you'll be watching a movie and they'll be like, oh, did you know that Jim Carrey, he's Canadian?
Yeah.
Jim Carrey's Canadian. Did you know that?
I didn't know.
You didn't know Jim Carrey was Canadian?
Is it? No.
Yes. I did know.
I did not.
I should have made something up.
Yeah, should have made something up. Tested me. Test me, bro. No. Well, believe it or not, this has been 2 hours, and we talked about all sorts of crazy stuff.
Right.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Look at the time. He didn't believe me. Yeah.
We were really happy to have you on.
Well, yeah. I appreciate you being on.
I really enjoy your comics. Like,
sincerely. Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, it was fun.
And I actually enjoyed getting to know you, right? One of the good things about a long conversation forum, you didn't have to come on for 5 minutes and tell us how to find you on social media or, you know, send us to your Patreon and just try to buzzword it out there, right? People got to know you on this. And,
it's cool.
Yeah, we're very much anti-interview sound.
Yeah.
We don't like just sit here and drill you questions, question, answer, question, answer, question, answer.
No. Today I got to make a new friend, and I appreciate that. Seriously.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks so much. That was fun.
How can people follow you? What's all your accounts, social media accounts?
Yeah, like I said before, I was able to nail down False Knees on basically anything you can name. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
We also
Tumblr.
Did that cash grab of names. That
was
like
Gorilla
that was like the initial rush. Everything Gorilla Banner.
But so everything, and you do have a Patreon account. We mentioned that earlier. So go there and is there a Josh Harmon social media? Do you do anything on there? No? Stay away from all that?
Barkman?
Barkman. Yeah, I said Harmon. Just throw
you've
something at me. I'm making up words.
Morty.
I did.
It's because he's been watching a lot of Rick and Morty and Dan Harmon.
Yeah, I made up a word.
We've been talking about Dan Harmon a lot.
Barkman.
Don't bother Josh Harmon, whoever he is.
Yeah, no, go. We're talking about Josh Barkman here.
Hey, my bad.
Yeah, send all of your hate mail.
Yeah, all the troll mail goes to Josh Harmon.
Yeah, all the fan mail goes to...
Fan mail, Josh Barkman.
Barkman.
Now, Josh Barkman stays off the internet.
I like that. I can respect that.
Yeah.
I'm good with that. Yeah. Well,
It's been 2 hours. We're going to shut this thing down.
Wrap this up.
Shut it down.
Yeah, we'll talk to you in just a second after we do the outro. But
cool.
I really do appreciate you being on. Gorilla Banner Podcast. This is Brock Washington.
Mal Often.
And say bye to the world.
Bye, world.
Bye, world. All right.